Muhammad Hay, 35. Chiefs. Right, David HaMelech, last week, he ended the capital and asked Hashem to help those people who serve him, and not, and unlike the people, and this week David HaMelech continues by asking Hashem to punish or to take retribution against his enemies. Now, David HaMelech probably wrote this capital when he was fleeing from Shaul. There are some Mefarshim that say he wrote this capital before he went out to fight Goliath, but the truth is that was very early in David HaMelech's career, if you will, David HaMelech's life, and much in the capital does not seem to fit with the idea that he wrote it. The idea that he wrote it at that time. The Sfarno says that he actually wrote it when he was hiding on the run from Avshalom, his son. Now, as we know, Avshalom, David's son, towards the end of David's reign, Avshalom rebelled against David and decided that he, Avshalom, was the proper choice to be the next king, and that it was time for his father David HaMelech to step down in favor of him. David HaMelech did not agree, and therefore Avshalom instituted a rebellion. And we'll mention a little bit later in the Kapitulach how exactly Avshalom did this. But David ended up on the run, fleeing from his own son, who for a time actually looked like he was going to be victorious and was holding Yerushalayim while David was on the run. The enemies of David HaMelech are really the enemies of Hashem. When we see throughout Nach that people hate David HaMelech, what they're really expressing is a sentiment of being against the Ratzon Hashem. David HaMelech is the chosen one of Hashem to be the Melech. He's the anointed king. And people who wish to rebel against Hashem channeled their rebellion into an anti-David sentiment. So the enemies of David are really the enemies of Hashem. This is a relatively long capital, so we're going to do like we've been doing recently with the longer capitals, and some of the pasukim we'll look at more closely, and some not, and try and get a sense of what this capital is going to do for us. Pasuk Aleph says, "LeDavid Riva Hashem es Yerivai Lechames Lechaimai." By David, fight Hashem my adversaries and battle those who do battle with me. Now the first thing about this is Riva, for those of you who are experts in Hebrew grammar, Dikduk, Riva is what we call Lashon Tzivui. It's a command. For example, bring me the water. For example, take this somewhere. That's called in Hebrew Lashon Tzivui, a command. So David HaMelech is giving a command to Hashem. He's not saying, please fight my enemies. He's saying, Riva, go fight my enemies. Now, this seems to be an unusual way to speak to Hashem. We don't usually think of us ordering Hashem around, correct? We usually think of that. However, I think we mentioned in Shir once before, the Medrash, that Hashem told David HaMelech, you learn Torah, and I'll take care of your wars. And in fact, Rabbi Beryl Wine once summed it up very, very beautifully by saying that David HaMelech's foreign policy was to learn on it. He'll learn, and Hashem will take care of the rest. So David HaMelech is saying, okay, Hashem, Riva, I'm learning all night, now you go and fight my enemies and do battle with those who do battle with me. Now he calls them my adversaries, your Rivai. The reason he calls them my adversaries is because he doesn't call them my enemies. He calls them my adversaries, someone that is fighting against me. Because who's doing the fighting? David HaMelech or the other people? The other people are fighting against David HaMelech. He's not fighting them back. So therefore he calls them Yerevi. My fightingers would be probably their English. I think we would probably say in better English, my adversaries. So he says, fight my adversaries and battle those who would battle against me. Achazek magen v'tzina, take hold of my shield and my buckler, v'kuma bezrasi, and rise up in my defense. Rise up in my defense. Take hold of my shield and buckler. It seems to me like we're davening for Hashem to go and to wipe out David HaMelech's enemies. What happened to the David HaMelech who's been davening for his enemies to do teshuvah? Instead, here we have David HaMelech, fight my adversaries, do battle with them, take the shield and buckler, and rise up against them. So the Mefarshim say, sometimes a person can be so corrupt and so full of hatred that destruction of them seems like the only option. David HaMelech is talking about, and this is one of the reasons it's probably not talking about when he was fighting Goliath, but later when he was fighting Avshalom, that his enemies are so full of hatred, and so full of hatred for him and Hashem, and so corrupt in their hatred, that he doesn't see an option of davening for them to do teshuva. He only sees an option of davening for their destruction. He says, Vahare chanis uskor likras roitfai, draw the spear and bar the way before the people who would chase after me, and mor lenavshi shuasei chani, and say to my soul, your salvation I am. Now the spear, draw your spear and bar the way. The spear played a big role in David HaMelech's battling with Shaul. So remember, David HaMelech had a chance to kill Shaul. Shaul was sleeping and the spear was lying next to him. But David HaMelech refused to do that, because to kill a Melech Yisrael, David thought, was wrong. And even though Shaul was trying to kill him, he refused to kill Shaul. So now he says, that same spear that I refused to use to kill Shaul, draw that spear and bar my pursuers from chasing me with it. Yevoshu v'yikalmu, may they be shamed and humiliated, mevakshe nafshi, those who seek my life. Yisku achor, let them retreat, v'yachapu and be your grace, choshvei ra'asi, those who plot my harm. Now David HaMelech is not using these words casually. The Malbim explains there are four levels of humiliation that a person can undergo. The first is Yevoshu. Boshu. It's a busha. Well, I hear that expression all the time, it's a busha. A busha is something that is something you feel shameful about. Based on your own actions, you feel shameful that you did something, it's a busha. Oy, I was too rude to that person. That's a busha, says the Malbim. More severe than that is v'yikalmu. Yikalmu is when humiliations are inflicted upon you by others. So when others come and humiliate you, that's even worse than when you feel your own humiliation. Then the Malbim says, yisku achor. Yisku achor, let them retreat. Retreat means when you realize your own permanent defects. Your own defects. Boshus, you realize you did something wrong. But now even worse, the third highest, is when you realize that you have a certain defect. That maybe you have a hot temper, or maybe you are impatient, or maybe you don't concentrate and take your learning seriously enough. That's called yizgu achor, retreating. And finally, it says the worst humiliation of all is yachpuru, when you're disgraced. When other people use your own defects to point out and humiliate you as to how bad of a person you are. Says David HaMelech, that's the worst thing. So he wants them to experience busha. Wants them to experience v'yikalmu, that they're going to be humiliated by others, that they're going to realize their own defects, and that others are going to humiliate them with those defects. And who does he want that to happen to? Choshvei ra'isi, those who plot him harm. Because like we said in the beginning, they're not plotting against David HaMelech. They're plotting against the Rabbi Yisrael. And they should be humiliated that they had the audacity to plot against the Rabbi Yisrael. Yiyu kamotz lifnei ruach, they should be like chaff, like the wheat, the very light stuff that gets flown, the wind can sprinkle around before the wind. Umalach Hashem docha, and the angel of Hashem thrust them away. So when we say something is kamotz, we're saying that it's very light and it can just easily fly away under the wind. So he wants them to be like that nothing. Just Hashem just poof them away. Poof? I guess that's not much of a dilum word there, but he darkam choishes v'chalaklikas. And he wants their way to be dark and slippery. Malach Hashem raifim, and the angel of Hashem pursuing them. Ki chinam tamuli shachas rishtam. And they have hidden for me in the snare of their net. Chinam chafru lenafshi. And they've dug pits to kill me for absolutely no reason. Now he says they've, without cause, they're trying to snare me. Achi Teufel, whose advice was well known to be rock solid advice, had advised Avshalom to kill David. Well, the only way you're going to be successful, Avshalom, is if you kill your father. Because as long as David is alive, there will be people who are loyal to David. In order for you to cement your claim to the throne, you're going to have to kill David. So he made a snare for them of their net without cause. And then David HaMelech says, Toviyehu Shoa Lo Yeda, and they want, a disaster will come upon them on a war, Zerishtu Asher Taman, Tilkuda, Tilkudu, and that his own net should snare him, Vesoa Yipol Ba, and disaster. Now, against the advice of Achitofel was the advice of Hushai. And Hushai told Avshalom not to kill David. And Avshalom followed the advice of Hushai and did not kill David. And it's very interesting because the advice of Achitofel was obviously a far bigger affair. To kill David. To take his throne and not kill him, or take his throne and kill him. However, whose advice was really better in terms of Avshalom's success? If you want to take the throne from David, it's going to be hard to do with David alive. But David HaMelech makes that distinction when he says that he wants them to come a disaster of which they're unawares, and their own net, which they had concealed, will ensnare them. So their own net, which they concealed, is the fact that he didn't kill David. His own net, that he was going to come back and is going to ensnare him. And he says, then you know what? V'nafshi tagil ba'Hashem. My soul will rejoice in Hashem. Tosis b'shuaso. And rejoice in his salvation. I've talked before about the difference between gila and simcha. David HaMelech many times uses the word gila, many times uses the word simcha. Gila is an inner joy or excitement. Simcha is the external demonstration of joy. We don't say a family is making a gila this week. Right? We say they're making a simcha. Because what do? You go to the simcha and everybody's dancing around and eating some more and dancing some more and singing and eating, etc., etc. You don't say someone's having a gila, but at that simcha, the Baalei Simcha are feeling gila. So David HaMelech is saying, I'll have both gila and simcha. Not only will I feel rejoiceful inside, but I'll demonstrate simcha in the salvation of the Rabbi Nishalelim. Kol atzmoisai tomarnu, and all the bones of my body will say, Hashem, mi chamaika. Who is like you, Hashem? Matzil ani mechazik mimeni, deliverer of the poor and the destitute, mi gozdu, from one who robs him. David HaMelech says, Yekumen adei chamas. Uprise false witnesses. Adei chamas are people who lie and come and give false testimony. Asher lo yedati yishalunu. And for that of which I know nothing, they want to call me to account. They want to taina me, on me. Now, what exactly this refers to is most likely Avshalom. David HaMelech was the king of Klal Yisrael for 40 years. He had a glorious reign, and he was, it's hard to even imagine the pedestal of David HaMelech. How is it possible that Avshalom was able to garner support for his rebellion? You can't have a rebellion by yourself. You need people to support you. So Avshalom was a very tricky individual. He would go out and he would stand in the roads that were the entrance to the city, and people would come. And he'd say, oh, Shalom Aleichem, I'm Avshalom, the son of the Melech, what are you coming for? And he says, oh, I'm coming to have a din tyra so that I can have my din heard by David HaMelech. I'm coming for Psak Halacha from David HaMelech. And that's home and say, oi, well, best of luck to you. You know, he's so busy and he's so famous, that David HaMelech. Oh, you're never going to get in to see him. People are waiting years to see him. Let me tell you something. If I were king, you'd be able to get in to see me anytime you wanted. But best of luck to you. And Avshalom would do that, and he would deceive the people into thinking that David HaMelech was being some distant, cloistered person who had let his David HaMelech kite go to his head, but that he, Avshalom, would be a man of the people. Certainly never heard that before, have we? I, Avshalom, would be a man of the people. But he didn't just deceive the people. He deceived the Sanhedrin also. Because at the end of Avshalom's rebellion, he had support from many, not all, of the elders of the Sanhedrin. Now, I understand how he deceived the people. The people, you know, he tricked them. How does he deceive the Sanhedrin? So once again, he's a very clever fellow. He went to David HaMelech, and he said, you know, Tati, it's Kavadik that when we go somewhere, we should have some members of the Sanhedrin accompany us to show that we give Kavad to Talmid HaChachamim. So David HaMelech said, good, which ones would you like? And he says, well, you know, I'm not sure. Why don't you write up an order and leave the names blank? And when I get to the Sanhedrin, I'll see who's available, who's the most chashiv, etc., etc., and I'll make a decision at the time. Well, it's a good idea, using good seichel there, son. So he left it blank. Avshalom went to the Sanhedrin, and you see David HaMelech is rebelling against the Sanhedrin. He says that the Sanhedrin should escort him, and here are the names of the people worthy of escorting, and there's not a single name written on this paper. It's blank. It's not even left the names off. He said, these are the ones worthy of escorting, and blank. You see, he's not even supporting the Sanhedrin anymore. He's become so full of himself that he thinks he's above the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin that appoints a king and approves his wars, now he thinks he's above you. But I, Avshalom, don't think that. I will fill in some names. And he would fill in the names. And he would do that at every place that he ran into members of the Sanhedrin. And eventually he came back and he had 200 Talmid HaChachamim escorting him. And the people saw this, and the Talmid HaChachamim saw this, and they thought, this guy Avshalom must be, something must be going on here. He wouldn't have all these Talmid HaChachamim and all this support if something wasn't going on. Now, Avshalom died, says Anach, with three spears in his heart. One spear because he deceived his father, one spear because he deceived Klal Yisrael, and one spear because he deceived Sanhedrin. So says David HaMelech, Rabbani Shalayla, Yikumin Adei Hamas, uprise false witnesses, Asher lo yedat Yisrael, and I have no idea what they're finding. They're coming and they're tining me, Yishalmuni ra'a tachas taiva, they repay me evil for good. Who has in their life has not felt this? They repay me evil for good. I don't know why I do anything against them, says David HaMelech. And they come to do evil to me. Shechol enavshi, this makes my soul cry bitterly. Vani becholasam, but you know what? But as for me, when they were ill, levushi sak, I put on sackcloth for them. Inesi b'tzom nafshi, and I fasted for them to have a refuah. Usefila si al chek tosu, and my prayers were that they should return. David HaMelech is davening for them to have a refuah shlema and to do teshuva, that they should be sasu. Even though, what do they do to him? They repay him evil for his good. This is the source for the fact that we learn that if someone is a Russia, we don't daven for their destruction. We daven for them to do teshuva. And I only have to give you one example. Who was Avram Avinu's father? Nessie. Terach. Terach was an Ovid of Avodah Zorah. A Russia. What if people had davened for him to be destroyed? He'd been destroyed, there'd have been no Avram Avinu. One doesn't know what the Chesbin in Shemayim is. So one davens for Rishayim to do teshuva, not for Rishayim to be destroyed. It says, David HaMelech, I davened upon them in my heart for them to return. I fasted for them. When they were ill, I put on sackcloth, and they repay me with evil. He says, Kareya ke'ach li his halachti. As for a friend, as my own brother I went about, ke'evelem kaider shachaisi. Like a mourning mother in gloom, I bent over, davening for them. Uvilzali samchu. And when I limped, if I did anything that even looked wrong, samchu, they rejoiced. Venesafu and gathered. Nesfu alai nekim velo yarati. And they gathered against me, and I don't even know why. Karu velo damu. They tore me, and they wouldn't stop, and they wouldn't be silent, says David HaMelech. Bechafne la'age ma'ez, and with flattery and mockery, charok alai shineni, they would gash their teeth with flattery and mockery. When they're in my presence, they're bowing and saying, Your Highness, it's only as soon as my back is turned that they act like this. Hashem kamasira, how long can you look at this, Hashem? Hashiva navshi mizayim, rescue my soul from their destruction. Mikfirim yichidasi, and from the young lions of my essence. Aircha b'chal rav, then I will thank you in a great congregation. Ba'am adsum alaleka, and before a mighty throng I will praise you. David HaMelech will give public thanks to Hashem. Al yismachu li oivai sheker, let them not rejoice for false cause. Soinachin amikritzu ayin, nor are those who hate me without reason wink an eye. Don't let them get away with these plans. Ki lo shalom yidaberu, because they don't speak of peace. The al rige aretz, rather against the poor people of the world. Divrei miros, they scheme in matters of, and they act deceitfully. Now David says it's not in peace that they speak. Well, none of this has sounded like peace. All of a sudden he has to point out, by the way, this is not really a shalom dika way to behave. David HaMelech is expressing an even deeper sorrow. What did he name his son? Avshalom. Because he saw when his son was born, his son had violent tendencies. He was a rough and tumble, violent kind of guy. So he named him Avshalom, because he hoped that, you know what? He'll use those rough and tough, violent tendencies for the good of Klal Yisrael. He'll be an outstanding general in the army. He'll be able to fight off our enemies. He'll use that mida of violence and for good. And instead, ki lo shalom yidaberu. It's not a peace that they're speaking. He didn't do it. You see, from this, the person can't really go against their nature. Yisro Salanter says that it's easier to learn all of Shas than to change one mida. Easier to learn all of Shas than to change one mida. But a person can use a mida for good, or a person can use a mida for bad. The famous example is someone who likes blood can become a murderer or a shenchet. So says David HaMelech, it's not in peace. I had hoped that my son Avshalom would be using his name, his violent tendencies, for peace. And he says, Divrei Mirmos, and the things they mentioned to me, deceit. What did they claim against David HaMelech? Not only is he not fit for the monarchy, he's not even Jewish. He's descended from Rus HaMoav. And they refuse to acknowledge the correct halacha, even to the point where Doeg, the head of the Sanhedrin, wanted David HaMelech called out and thrown out of Klal Yisrael. Deceit, they come after me. Ve'archivu alai pihem. They opened their mouths against me, Amru, and they said, Ha ha, aha, Rasa Nenu, our own eyes have seen his misfortune. Our own eyes have seen his misfortune. This is a little bit funny, Pusik. And before we mentioned, I believe recently, the Maisel of Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera came and he taunted David HaMelech. And he told him, you know what, you're not worthy to be a king after what happened with Bathsheba. Shimi ben Gera was the head of the Sanhedrin. And he told David HaMelech to his face, you know what? You're unworthy to be a king. And David HaMelech's bodyguards and army said, they were fighting over who would get the privilege of killing Shimi ben Gera. You can't talk that way to the king. It's a capital offense. But David HaMelech sacrificed his covet and said, leave him alone. Because I see from him, Esther and Mordechai will be descended, and that will need, and Klal Yisrael will need them. And I see that Shimi ben Gera is doing what he believes to be correct, L'shem Shemayim. So as David HaMelech's army marched, next to them, they were sort of marching in a valley, and there was a hill to the side. Shimi ben Gera walked along the hill, a sort of equal with David's army, the whole time yelling down insults and taunts at David HaMelech. Mile after mile, or kilometer after kilometer, they went and they marched, with Shimi ben Gera yelling down, you're not fit to be king, you're a Rasha Marusha, you're an adulterer, you're evil, you're not fit to be king the whole way. And David HaMelech refused to let anybody take action after. Ra'isa Hashem. Hashem, you've seen yourself. Al Techerish. Please don't be silent. Hashem, Al Tirchach Mimeni. Please don't be distant from me. Ve'iru ve'akitza l'mishpat. Arouse yourself. Waken yourself to judgment. Elokai v'Hashem l'rivi to my cause. Shafteini k'titcha Hashem Elokai. Judge me according to your righteousness. Judge me as you wish, Hashem. Ve'al yisbechu li. But don't let my enemies rejoice over me. If I'm to be punished, says David HaMelech, let it be from the hand of Hashem, that his enemies would not be able to rejoice. Ayomu v'libam. And don't let them say in their hearts, Ha'ach nafsheinu, aha, our souls. Al yomru bilanuhu. We have swallowed him up and we've been successful against David HaMelech. Yevoshu v'yachpru yachtav sameche ra'isi. May they be shamed and disgraced together, those who are glad and rejoice on my misfortune. Yilbashu v'yisesu kalima. They should have shame and humiliation. U'magdili malai. And those who lift themselves up and try and rise over me. Yaronu v'yismichu. And sing and be glad. Afeite sidke. Those who desire my vindication, my success. Vayomru Salmid, and let them always say, Yigdal Hashem. Hashem is glorified, Echofet Shalom Avdo, because he desires the peace and the success of his servant. Ulshonai Teged Tzidkecha, then my tongue will express the righteousness of Hashem, Kol Hayayim Tehilasecha. All day long I will sing your praises. This is a moving and bitter lament on behalf of David HaMelech. The theme here is that his enemies hate him because he represents Hashem. And his enemies, you can't rebel against Hashem. You can't take the war to Hashem, so to speak. But you can take it to his anointed king, David HaMelech. And let the whole world see that David HaMelech, Hashem's anointed king, was slain by us. That our plans and our tricks were able to overcome Hashem. You know, it's hard to it's sometimes hard to relate though to a kapitza like this. Because we can read this kapitza and we can feel David HaMelech's pain. But when it comes time for us to say a kapitza, how many people here have soldiers that are fighting for them? Let's see a show of hands. But that would be none. How many people here are a melech and are used to having people trying to take their throne away? Let's see. Okay, not too many. How many people here have had a son rebel against them and try and kill them? Not too many. How many people here have commanded large armies of soldiers? How many people have fought giant Philistines?
I did in a play once.
Okay, that's close. So how is it that we're supposed to read this kapitel and internalize this in any way that's meaningful to us? It would seem like this is a kapitel that a person can weep over David HaMelech's lament. What does it do for us? Levim sang this kapitel from the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. Was it so that people would be sympathetic to David HaMelech? Or was it so that people would feel something? What is it we're supposed to feel from this kapitel? Next time we're saying Tehillim and we get to this kapitel, Lamed Hey, and we see David HaMelech's travails and his weeping and davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what is it supposed to make us feel? That's always an interesting mashal. You know, nowadays, when a person is sick, there are so many tests that can be run that if a person has even the slightest tendency to be a hypochondriac, they can keep the medical testing companies busy for months. Right? You can run every test backwards, forwards, what's wrong with me, what's not wrong with me. We have a huge array of diagnostics and tests that we'll run, and even if the doctor doesn't think, maybe we'll do an MRI just to make sure. Right? You never know, another stress test can't hurt anything. Hop up on the treadmill, we'll see what's going on. What about spiritual maladies, illnesses of ruchnius? What do we do for them? We hope they'll go away. We hope they'll get better somehow. Is that how we deal with a heart attack? Rachmana litzlan, a person's having a heart attack. Do we say, well, I hope you get better. It'll probably work itself out. you know, why don't you take the day off tomorrow and relax at home a little bit, and I'm sure you'll feel better. You know, I have the eyes crawling out the floor. Right? That wouldn't work very well. But that's what we do when it comes to Ruchnius. Oh, you know what? You're feeling spiritually like a spiritual heart attack? Take the morning off of work. Yeah. What's that going to do for you? Right, take the morning off of work. Now, that may be fun to take the morning off of work, but it's not going to go away by itself. You need spiritual Ruchnius remedies and tests. You need a spiritual MRI, an MRI of Ruchnius, if you will. The stress test of the soul. Hey, wow. Stress test of the soul. Right? That's what we need. Then we don't have that. Says David HaMelech, yes, you do. Kapitel Lamed Hei. Kapitel Lamed Hei is our medical test for Ruchnius. And our medical refuah. The person can read this kapitel and not feel anguish and tears at David HaMelech's struggle, then the MRI has shown a serious problem. And David HaMelech, when we read this Tehillah of David HaMelech, we should hear his anguish, his tefillah, and how many people have never felt that way themselves. So we don't have soldiers that we command. We have spiritual illnesses of our own. We feel ill. Sometimes we don't even know why. And sometimes, you know what? David HaMelech's got soldiers and Avshalom pursuing him. Maybe all we've got is a nasty boss at work. Maybe all we've got is that we've tried so hard to improve davening and it seems like we're going backwards. I promised myself this Rosh Hashanah, I was going to have more kavana in davening, and it just seems like I have less. So that is the anguish that we have. When we read this kapitel from David HaMelech, we should feel David's anguish and feel how we have that same anguish. And hear David HaMelech's tefillah and make that tefillah our tefillah. When David HaMelech says, Riva Hashem is Yerivai, fight my adversaries, we want Hashem to fight our adversaries for us, both individually and as Klal Yisrael. When we want our problems to go away like chaff in the wind, that's what David HaMelech asks for. When we want people who are plotting against us and who are doing things inappropriate to do teshuvah, that's David HaMelech's request. When David HaMelech wants shalom, that's our request. We want shalom of the spirit too. We want shalom of Ruchnius. We also want to be able to praise Hashem all day long. So David HaMelech's kapitel here is meant for us to feel the anguish. It's meant for us to feel his pain. It's meant for us to hear what he does about it. It's not just a lament of pain. This is a tortured person crying out here. He's beset on every side by enemies and difficulties, of the likes of which we can't even imagine. But we also want Kol Hayom Tehila Secha. We also want, as David HaMelech finishes up in the last pasuk, to be able to sing Hashem's praises all day. So when we're getting our MRIs for our body, this is the MRI for the neshama. This is what we should be doing to make sure that our neshama can feel the pain and the anguish and know how to respond to that with the proper tefillah to Hashem Yisborach. So that we should all be able to say, Kol Hayayim Tehila Secha.
Amen.
Well, questions?